Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Well, what a morning. Isn't it always good to hear how God's used somebody? It's always good to hear a testimony. Isn't it always good to hear how something that seems so, even in that moment, it was just a decision that was just a split second, but it makes a huge difference years later. And you know, for some of us, it's so uncommon to ever get a chance to hear how that impacted somebody. Many times we will never see a person again that impacted. Sometimes we just don't have the opportunity to talk to them again, or sometimes the impact was so deep that they will come back and find you, which is an amazing thing. And Charlie, I thank you for being willing and honoring the request of your pastor to come and share that. And this morning, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what's uncommon and what's common. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to be today. And we're still rolling through. And we're starting kind of, instead of thrive, we're moving into uncommon, because our desire at this church should not be to be the common church. That shouldn't be what we're striving for. We shouldn't want to be the place that people walk in and that they just go, this is just like every other church. We want to be a church. We should be thriving to be uncommon, because what's common today? Uncommon is many times useful teaching, but not very scriptural teaching. Common today is what doesn't hurt helps, where the Bible says that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword that can divide anything. You see, the Bible isn't meant to be just this book that tells us how we should live because it's just a helpful guide. It is a prick. It is the moment that it's that scratch that doesn't feel too good that says, hey, I want your attention. I want you to serve me. And so the common things today are usually not what we should be following. You know, the interesting thing is, though, is that we want to be more common the more that we really look at our lives, because we strive to look like the world. Yet the Bible tells us what? While you are in the world, do not be what? Of the world. Because what the world has to offer is nothing. I remember years ago, Cademan's Call was a huge worship band. If y'all remember Cademan's Call, they came out of Houston. Great songwriter, Derek Webb, loved Cademan's Call. But one of their songs said, this world has nothing for me, and this world has everything. You see, it's common for us to look around and say, hey, what do we not have? How do we do things? And I'm telling you something, church, we can't spread ourselves too thin, because we become watered down when we lose our focus. And the common thing is how do we do everything? The uncommon thing is to say, what's the goal and what are we shooting at? And let's hit that target. And so this morning, we're going to start about what's happening in the early church. We've been talking through some of Acts, but I want you to know something. We need to be uncommon. When people walk away from us, it's not that they say that person must go to Old River. It should be something like this. That person had to meet with Jesus this morning. That person has to have a personal relationship, because when they entered the room, it was different. When they talked to me, it was different. Whenever they left the room, it was different, and I want to leave with them. I can tell you what, there's a lot of people that come and go in my life, and I don't want to follow them anywhere. When I was in basketball in high school and then a little bit for college, when we were running off the gym floor, I always wanted to be first, because I didn't want to be behind those stinky boys. I didn't want to follow them. So I would hustle off the court every time. But we have to understand that this world is looking for the uncommon, the things that don't make sense in this world. They're looking for the people that are not striving for fame or fortune. They're looking for people who are trying to find truth. seeking truth, following truth. And so this morning, if you'll stand with me as we read from God's Word, and we're just going to read the very first few verses again. I know that we read them last week, but we're reading again from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. May God bless the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would just speak to us this morning. And Father, help us to realize that you're not the common God. You're not the one that people seek. But Father, you're the uncommon, the one that does the things that are uncommon, the one that loves us. Common people with an uncommon love. We pray all these things in your holy son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have this moment, we talked about it, just setting it up again, just brief history. The disciples and the followers of Christ, about 120 of them, have now seen Jesus ascend. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit, and this is that actual moment. And while this actual moment shows us a lot about what God has blessed us with, what it also tells us is who God is. You see, because he's being faithful to fulfill a promise, and we need to remember that God is faithful in all things. That what he has promised he will do, he will do. And we see that over and over again in the Old Testament. It also talks about that whenever he said that I will make a way, that he sent Christ, and whenever Christ said, I will send a comforter, that Jesus was following that plan. Jesus was doing what the Father willed at that point, but whenever he went, he also could be trusted, and he was faithful in what he said. But now we have this moment where God is really depicted in a couple of ways. The first thing that we need to notice is that when the tongues of fire split, it rested on each one of them. You see, at this time, they were gathered in Jerusalem, all men from all nations, for Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the harvest festival. It's the 50 days after Passover, and so it was the mark of one harvest season to the next harvest season, and it was one of three times that in Leviticus that they were told, you must go to the temple and you must appear before God. Now, why is that important? Well, let's think about today what we are taught from the world. I know last week your Sunday school lesson talked about some of these principles. But we have a world that tells us, hey, because you live in such wealth, God must be pleased with you. God is pleased with people who are doing well. That must be God's message. If you're doing okay, God's okay with you. It's not necessarily truth in the Bible. That's what we're taught. We are told that if we belong to a certain group, a certain family, a certain clan, that, hey, you must be okay. If you do just good things, you're okay. All these things was about where you're a part of. You see, placement was a huge issue because in the Old Testament, it wasn't about those who were outside the Jewish nation. It was just the Jewish nation. They were supposed to represent what a people that followed God was supposed to look like, and in that way, demonstrate to the entire world that they were God's people and that God was pleased with man if they lived in this, but no man could follow the complete law. It's still, Jesus was still part of the plan. It was never not part of the plan. But whenever they were to live, it was to point to God and say, look at what he's doing. And when Jesus came, the whole world would look and say, this must be the Savior. However, we know that Israel is just like us. They rebel, they complain, they whine, they look to other nations. They didn't like being ruled by God. So after the judges, they said, we desire a king just like the rest of the nations. But it was all about their placement as we are children of Abraham. I want to tell you something. I've been in church since 9 months before I was born, okay? A lot of people call it a drug problem because they were drugged to church every Sunday. I was there every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday night. If the pastor called and said, hey, we're cleaning windows, my dad was like, it's Sunday at 4 o'clock. We're going up there to clean windows. We scrub toilets. My dad owns a plumbing company, so whenever there was something wrong with a bathroom or with a sewer line or anything like that, we're breaking up concrete. And all of a sudden, we had to become experts at linoleum tile, and we had to become experts at drywall. And we knew exactly how much space you could really cover with expandable foam. We knew all that stuff. But being a high note of North Orange Baptist Church has nothing to do with God in my life. Now, God has used being a high note with a legacy of men who have followed God for years and years and years, and North Orange Baptist Church, with the pastor and the youth pastor where I grew up, my friends, he used all that, but when it all came down, it didn't matter what church I went to, what family I was born into, what country I live in, and it doesn't matter for you. Placement is not how we see salvation. The only way we see salvation is when we realize that God didn't demand people to come to Him anymore. You see, they had to go 3 times a year to show up before God, and each time they were to confess sin, sacrifice, give God what they were told to give. It was regimented, and it was, I am here, you come to me on my terms. And guess what? In this text, when it says the tongues divided and fell on them, it was no longer about placement. It was about God's proximity to you. He said, I'm no longer requiring you to come to me. I'm coming to you, and I'm not just coming to you. I am invading your space. Man, that's an incredible testimony. That's an incredible scripture, because no longer are you required to do little acts of obedience. Now, you say, oh, wait, what does that mean? I can just get saved. No, Jesus would say, if you love me, you will what? Obey my commands. You see, the greatest form of love is to honor someone by accepting their heart, by accepting their desires, by saying, I will lay down my life for yours. You see, that's why many people say, oh, you know, well, marriage, and you've heard this statement before, but they'll say, oh, marriage, they just don't give enough, and they don't do this, and I don't get what I want, and all those things. And the reality is that marriage is never based on a 50-50. It is never based on 50-50. My heart was broken this week. I haven't been here long, but here's one thing I know. The Gurley family loves their family. And this week, Mr. Gurley lost his mother. And an incredible testimony of 76 years almost of marriage. 76. That's amazing. I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about this. If you got married when you're 20 years old, you're 95. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, that's amazing. But I can tell you something. It wasn't about someone saying, well, I'll do my part and you do your part. It was about two people who said, I will do anything for you. And there's no greater picture of God in us and what He wants from us than when He said, I will do anything for you, that He laid the life of His Son on the line and gave everything He knew for you. And He's saying, will you in turn give everything to me? It's not a 50-50, it's 100-100. It is all in. God never said, you can keep your life and I will just save you. He said, if you lose your life, you shall what? Save it. Church, it's uncommon for people to deny everything that they know for a truth in an old book. And in fact, we're told that it's crazy. But like we said last week, I would rather be known as the crazy person that loves Jesus than the one that never made a difference. And you see, we have to understand that at this moment, God was saying, I am with you. Period. It was personal. You know, when we take road trips, it's always amazing because my children have to go to the bathroom after we pass the last store. Then we need to go by. Anybody know that feeling? It's like they're sitting in the back. They don't say a word. We're going right through Houston. You got an hour and a half of constant gas stations, Walmarts, Target. I mean, you can stop anywhere. I just said Target. I know that's probably been a debate around here. I don't know if I'd stop at Target to go to the bathroom anymore. But the reality is, y'all get that later if you're wondering what's going on. I was just like, well, we'll see. But you know how it is when they say, I got to go to the bathroom. It's like, what's at the exit? It doesn't matter. Oh, but for little girls and mamas, men, you know the answer. It matters. But they haven't said a word. They haven't talked at all. They're back there asleep. And the moment you get past Seeley, they're like, guess what, Dad? I got to go to the bathroom. And you're thinking, okay, what's in? Whoa, there's nothing in Columbus. What's in? And you're starting to think, and you're trying to figure out, do I have a bucket I can cut a hole in and put them in the woods? I mean, you're just trying to figure it out. And then came Buc-ee's. Whoa, I'm telling you what. And you know what? When people say that Texas isn't God's country, I'm like, oh, you just don't know. There's deer, there's fish, there's salt water, there's desert, there's pine trees, there's plains. There is snow every once in a while, but we don't like it very much, so we send it back. You know, it's God's country, and they say, well, why is it God's country? I'm like, well, everything's bigger in Texas. Just go look at our gas stations, and I point them to Buc-ee's. And they're like, they walk out of there all loaded down, and they're like, this is amazing. And I'm like, yeah, and you didn't even get the beaver nuggets. You're crazy, you know, because those things are like, I mean, they're addictive. I mean, that's like a drug. It's like a corn pop with caramel on it. You're like, woo. And you know what? It's amazing, but Buc-ee's came along, and it was amazing because we can get from Baytown to Luling. When we lived in Fort Worth, we'd stop in Temple. We'd get to San Marcos. If you're going toward Bastrop, you hit that one. You can get to Waller on 290. I mean, it was like every 2.5 hours, you got clean bathrooms, and there it's like heaven's bathrooms. I'm just going to let you know. I mean, it's just forever, and I can let my girls go in there. I don't have to worry about it being dirty. They got cleaner in the stall in case there's something dirty. I mean, it's just amazing. But you know what? We still had to wait to get to that certain place. And that's not what God has for his people. God's not asking that you're waiting on Sunday morning to meet with him. He's not saying you're driving through your week and I just want you to hold on till you get here. He's saying, I am with you always, even to the end of age when Jesus ascends. And then the next thing we know is that God is being poured out on believers. And in Joel, wherever it talks about, and there'll be young men and young women who prophesy, and you say, whoa, 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 don't let women start preaching. Here's what you need to know. Some of you men better start, because our women are leading a lot of things that men should be stepping up to the table in. And don't call out women for being God's vocal piece in some families' lives when you're sitting on the sidelines saying, whoa, I can't get involved with that. Now, I'm not saying we put a woman in the pulpit. I believe that the Bible clearly teaches that the pastor role is for men. But here's what I do know. Guys, we can't complain when women are being spiritual leaders if we're not willing to step up and be spiritual leaders. Because in a vacuum, someone must step up. After World War I, we saw what happened in Germany. A power vacuum where everything was displaced in Germany, it was destroyed, there was nothing. And a man made a decision that I will be the one. And guess what? That man had so many problems emotionally, mentally, but he made a decision. I'm going to be the one. And Germany would take a path that would cause the Second World War, that would cost more lives in one war than anything ever before. In fact, it's thought that all the wars combined before that didn't take as many lives as World War II did. It's an amazing thing that when a vacuum happens, there has to be someone to stand in the gap. Men, where are you at? Those of you who know that you should be a Sunday school teacher, a Sunday school substitute, somebody to lean for others to lean on. Maybe you're asked to be a mentor couple in a class. Maybe you're a deacon that doesn't deacon anymore. I don't know how we say what deacons do, but there's got to be something. So maybe you're not deacon anymore. Maybe you were a Sunday school teacher and you got upset because you didn't get your way. What are you doing? And ladies, don't feel like you're off the hook on this. What are you doing that looks just like the world in front of your kids? What are you getting involved in the workroom at your school with every other woman complaining about her husband. It says in the Bible that you are to build your husband up and you are to submit to him. And whenever I say that, I'm not saying that you should just say, hey, honey, what do you want for dinner? I cooked this for you. Oh, you don't like that? I'll throw it away. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that when you're in public, you should be adorning your husband with praise and glory so other people see what's different about that marriage, because we can't stand each other. And they have to say, where's God in all this? And they're going to look at you and say, he's with you. You see, the Spirit is with you if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ. He's not saying, hey, I'm at exit 6 whatever in Luling. He's saying, I'm beside you at the bedside every morning. I'm riding in the car. Which makes us have to think, man, you heard what I listened to last week. You knew what my first thought was when I woke up. You knew what my last thought was before I went to bed. You know everything. You see, it's the placement and the proximity of God that changes everything. Muslims from all over the world will make trips to Mecca on what they call their sacred Hajj, which is the pilgrimage. They go and they must march around a tomb of a dead man in Mecca that has a stone in it, hoping that they'll please their God enough that he will someday take part in their life and not destroy them, but he will save them. If you're Hindu, you don't even know what God you're going to pray for. You're just going somewhere and you're praying to the over 13 million that they have set up. If you're in America, you're just bowing down to yourself every day and saying, I'm number one. That's how I'm going to vote. That's how I'm going to act. That's how I'm going to eat. That's how I'm going to live. That's how I'm going to talk. Everything outside of Christianity is about us having to bow down to something, where in Christianity, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but we have a God that said, I love you enough to come live in you, and with all your problems, I want to come in and I want to clean house. By the way, this week we're signing on our house up there, and so we should sign on the house down here next Monday. We're really excited about that. And I know many of you have talked about things. I know one thing that we're going to be really interested in. We need to clean house. So if anybody wants to get their soap bucket and everything and come over and help us clean that house before we put our stuff in it, would be much appreciated. I know that there's some of you sitting in this room that have already voiced that, so be prepared. But God doesn't want to come in and just keep you common. He wants you to stick out. He wants you to be some type of spectacle. And you say, well, that's a bad word. Noah built an ark. People watched him. Abraham left his home. People watched him. Moses would call down flies and frogs, and people watched him. Elijah would make it not rain. People hated him. But he would also call down fire to prove who the real God was. And if you read what happens after that, man was a pretty violent man as well, as he would take care of the prophets of Baal. People knew who Elijah was. Elisha would be made fun of, and he would call bears out to take care of those heckling him. All the prophets would be killed for their messages. You see, God has not called us to be comfortable. God has not called us to just get along. God has called us to be his children. To be viewed, to be a testimony, and to be a person that has placement of the Spirit in their life and knows that he's with them all the time. Not just Sunday mornings, not just whenever it's comfortable, but that He lives in us.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.